Good day. You're listening to Free City Radio. I'm your host, Stefan Christoph. Thanks for tuning in. On the broadcast this week, I am going to be sharing a conversation that I recorded with Roy Saad, who is a photographer and has been working in amazing ways in Lebanon, in Montreal, but also across the world to create initiatives that speak to space, that speak to identity in unique and important ways, the utilization of photograph to tell stories and to reflect also on identity, territory, and in this present moment, the ways that colonization continues to impact the world. For example, Roy has worked for multiple years on a project that's ongoing to think about and to document alternative cultures in the West Bank of Palestine, working with Palestinian skateboarders to create an awesome project that tells their story in occupied Palestine of skate culture. Also, Roy created a beautiful exhibition last year on the ways that water is impacted by war and colonization and the movements for climate justice, for ecological justice across North Africa and West Asia. And Roy just, I think, is a really important cultural worker that is really exploring the intersections of society, identity, culture, and photography. So I got a chance to speak with Roy about his work, and here's our conversation.
I'm here in Montreal. Roy, your work has touched on a variety of both like very geographical, like land-based experiences of, you know, geographies and territories in Palestine, in Lebanon, and more broadly throughout the region. And, you know, we've been talking about the experience of sharing that type of work in Western contexts, especially right now, as the Israeli military and the Israeli state is attacking Palestinians in Gaza. It's a very, very intense moment. And there's been, you know, a lot of shift in recent years where, like, there's a lot of Western institutions that are more open to like featuring work of, you know, artists or really seeking to feature work. But in this moment, we've seen a lot of these same institutions really clamping down on a discussion about the realities in Palestine. So it's an interesting moment to talk to you. But I think maybe, first of all, if you could just introduce yourself and just talk a little bit about your work as a photographer, but also as a book designer, just so people can know who you are.
Yes. Thank you for having me. Just want to say first that I apologize for my articulation because English is not my first language. And that, you know, these times are difficult for us. And it's really, I have a feeling of despair with what's happening in Palestine. We have friends there and I feel helpless and hopeless. So excuse my low energy. So about me, I'm a Lebanese photographer, designer, curator who's interested in photography basically and design in the art world, the cultural world. I've been in Montreal for the past 3 years voluntarily, as I had to leave after the Beirut explosion. And so, you know, coming here, it's quite a change in your lifestyle and your approach, good and bad. And so I've been more involved within the Western circle and in here, not specifically in Canada, but in the West and in the US. And so, you know, this is all kind of fresh and interesting to look at things from a different perspective. I've been creating photography shows for, I would say, the past 2 years more than ever before. And as a designer, I work with photographers a lot. I make photo books. And so, and I get this privilege to dig deep into their like projects and understand their process and how they work. And as a photographer, I work on projects about social justice or about the sea. I'm interested in rivers and seas. And so it's a kind of like an intersection, and these themes that interest me is not only in my production, in my art production and photography production, but I move between curating shows about these themes that interest me to designing things about these themes that interest me to photographing them. And I very much, you know, with you on the idea of cultural institutions, art institutions, and so forth, that are interested in on the like in on the surface with these concepts and ideologies and new thoughts around injustice, but yet lack so much to stand within and you know do the work. I think partially it's because it's a class thing. I always believe that the struggle is a class struggle. I also think that, you know, when you have power, when you are in a position of leading something, you don't have to what do you say, reveal or present your intentions and or to be credible to your moral standards. Think about, you know, how you as an artist you're being questioned about how interested you are you. Why would we have you in our institution or in our exhibition? You know, these questions they ask you about, like, what are your stands about this and that? What else? Like all these transparencies that you're asked about, and you have to perform. Yet, people in the other. On the other side, are not the people who like have to justify to you their positions.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know, like you know, if you work with an institution, you don't ask them what are their politics or stands about specific subjects. I don't know why we don't actually.
Well, maybe on that point we can talk a bit about, because, you know, a lot, your work has touched on a number of things. I remember the first time seeing your photography, it was really about the seafront in Beirut, and then just seeing sort of the both like the lands and the sea close to Beirut, and just the atmosphere. But in your work recently, you've also been working and collaborating with Palestinian artists. And well, we could maybe get into some of the specifics, but first, you know, as an artist from Lebanon, can you maybe talk a bit about the importance of seeing images and sharing images from this context that are created by artists who are living in that context, right? I mean, a lot of your work is collaborations with Palestinian artists.
Yes. So there's so many things. I would say that, I can contradict myself, because now I'm in a place where I always feel that we're presenting our work in kind of like countering, ideas the West has on us. And it really drives me crazy, because it means that we're always trying to defend our positions, that we need to, present ourselves as like human beings or anti, you know, barbarism, or even in smaller, you know, lighter version of things that we are worth of seeing in the same light as others, and this is obviously, you know, a struggle of power and you know, the idea that you need justifications from the others, from others, or from those who uphold power. Mm-hmm. And I've been trying to distance myself from that by doing projects that first and foremost asks what are the gaps that, you know, we can work on as collectives, or I can work on personally, but also try to consider other audiences, because we tend now in these days to direct ourselves very quickly towards the foreign viewer audience. If you, I can give you a small example. I collect photo books. It's an initiative. We can talk about it in a bit. But so I have a lot of photo books, and from the region, from the Middle East and North Africa, and most of these books are in English. You know, it's something to look and assess and understand why, and I'm guilty of that. You know, what should I call it? Leaving behind some of your culture, some of your knowledge, mm-hmm. because the world scene requires different looking. I think this is what it means to be in an empire. You know, we think we're not anymore, but this is what it means to be, you know, the strongest, most the biggest military, and the strongest state country in the world, being the United States. I mean, it doesn't only produce knowledge that is much bigger than ours, mm-hmm. that you can't compete with, and also present with, like, give you no space to do or have a voice by your own. Mm-hmm. But it also represent you, and also from within your position, from your within your marginalized space, it gives you no ability to produce and stay in the marginalized, in a sense. So the only way to present something culturally and to be seen beyond your best friends and few of your people is to look there, outward, and look for funds there, look for resources, mm. Look for affirmation, mm-hmm. You know, and these things, you know, this is why cultural production is so interesting. You know, I've never thought about that before. I thought of, like, projects that are subjects that interest me in Beirut when I was in Lebanon, and so I just documented them because they interest me. And I found myself writing in English the captions and I still do. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I'm not saying that I'm changing anything, but it really, you understand, I stood now that whatever I grasp, whatever noise I try to do is always in respect to,
mm-hmm.
in relation to someone else's gate, like someone else's position, someone else's lens, mm-hmm. as much as I try to, you know, resist it. That's I think the power of the Hollywood and mm-hmm. and you know, looking at all these American cultural materials that, you know, takes space in you and make you imagine, or wanting, you know, being interested in them and then uphold them and use them and mm-hmm. internalize them and mm-hmm. wear them and eat them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, at this moment, right, like, even the presentation of images, let's say from South Lebanon mm-hmm. or from Palestine or the people from those places, there's so much, I mean, in this moment, there's so much criminalization mm-hmm. and dehumanization.
Right.
Maybe we could talk a bit about your project that you worked on in collaboration to with a Palestinian artist
right.
in the West Bank as sort of an example of a totally different type mm. of lens and also process.
Yeah. So mine Hamad is a Palestinian American photographer and skater who lived in Palestine for a while. After he grew up in, I think, Michigan, I hope I'm correct.
In the U.S.
In the U.S., yes. And went back to get to know more his country and brought with him his skateboard. And he has been photographing and being part of this small community of skaters in Palestine for 8 or 9 years. And when he approached me, I already knew about his project, and he wanted to work with me on a book. And so I took the role of an editor, conceptualizing the project into a book, and editing, selecting, and sequencing his images. But the process was long. We've been working on it for 2 years.
Respect.
And this the approach was that that I saw in this work much more than with due all my respect to photography and my love to photography. That this project needed much more context mm-hmm. and needed much more information than what a standard-looking classical way of creating a photo book and a mm-hmm. visual narrative is, mm-hmm. specifically with heaviness and layered history of Palestine and Palestinian occupation of Palestine, and so Mann happened to be a great, great writer, at least that's what I think, who had showed me a bit of text that he wrote, mainly reflections and diary that few pages. And when I read that, I was really astonished with how much information I learned through reading just a few pages from him, and how necessarily it is to like understand people's experience within this context. And so I asked him to write more, and I was shocked when he came back to me 2 months later with almost like 40-45 pages. Some had interviews with skaters, an interview with his father, notes he took, a diary about, you know, stepping outside his grandmother's house and seeing, you know, an assault.
From Israeli soldiers?
Yeah, to someone in front of him, like experiencing it. Very interesting critical writing about what does it mean to live under occupation, and mm-hmm. how, you know, this this Israeli state is an apartheid state, and what, you know, really, really interesting critical writing slash poems that he put together. And when he did, I decided to approach the book not from a visual ground, but to have the text as the spine of the book. So usually when you sequence images and try to create a narrative within the book, you rely on the images to create a beginning, middle, and ending.
Okay.
In this case, I positioned first the text and tried to place all these images that he took within that structure.
Wow.
And that was a meant longer process. And so the book has a very different like layouts and relationship between text and images. Some places the images are the loudest, and the text is just a back information that you need to, if you like, to read. And other places, like critical writing or poems, the text is the main thing, the main storyteller.
Mm.
And the images play a secondary role. And so many in between where both are equal or text is upside down, or, you know, trying to play with the hierarchy of text and images and notes. And we made sure to have captions that, you know, helps you understand what you're looking at. For example, a photo of like something. Like, so imagine a photo of a small street with colors and fogginess in the sky. It looks like a really nice image, but if you read the caption, it says that this is a place where it's the most tear gas place in the world. And it gives you some context that this is actually about tear gas, about violence in a space that looks aesthetically beautiful.
And that's places where Palestinians have been protesting the Israeli military occupation.
Yeah.
and the apartheid wall.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, often a lot of what you have been pointing to in this project and others in your work is about narratives,
mm-hmm.
and how images convey narratives, and also who is sharing that narrative. Well, first of all, I would ask you to just maybe mention your website before you give an answer, or like where people could go. I can also just share some links later. People can check out the description.
Mm.
So, but maybe you could also talk about this initiative, which I found really interesting because it talks about water and land, right? Like, and I think a lot of what we're seeing now in Palestine, obviously, or what we saw in Iraq, is about land and water.
Mm.
And, you know, when it comes down to it, and I mean, that's so many people are, it seems, having a really hard time understanding the inherent connection between the Canadian state and the Israeli state, or the U.S. state and the Israeli state. But, you know, in so many ways, it's so obvious just because of the colonial sort of conquest of land and water. I really loved this project you told me about, because you told these stories about environmental justice and water in the region, but also thinking about it from that perspective of like who controls the water, how does conflict or war or occupation affect water.
So this exhibition is called A River Flows Downstream.
Mm-hmm.
And I was approached to create an exhibition in Washington, D.C. And at this time, I was so conceptualizing the idea of water.
Mm-hmm.
And rivers, specifically because me and my partner, Tamara Abdulhadi, we're both working together on a project in Iraq,
uh-huh.
documenting and mapping the Euphrates River, uh-huh. And so the idea of a river along, you know, and what does a like a metaphor of a river means, and you know, especially in such a place where there's conflict at some point, but there's also climate change and there's so many political what do you call it, tension that you know, you have dams in Turkey and you have dams in Syria, you have dams in Iraq, all of it that attributes to the drought and the you know, the water being scarce, like the scarcity of water in this region. So that's where I started with the concept of a river. And I wanted it to be this idea that a river, you know, can be an extension to different things, and specifically how you can link different lands and different places together under the concept of water, and that it's in a way unstoppable, like whatever we try to do, build dams or, you know, or form it into, like, it, the water takes the form, whatever form you create around it.
That was a conversation with Roy Saad, who is a photographer, bookmaker, and curator based in Montreal. And this has been another edition of Free City Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We air weekly. I'm your host, Stefan Christophe. You can hear us on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal at 11 a.m. on Wednesdays, on CJLO 1690 a.m., also in Geogeauge, Montreal, on Wednesdays at 8:30 a.m. on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg at 10:30 p.m. on Tuesdays, on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario, 11:30 a.m. on Wednesdays, on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria, BC, on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. and Saturdays at 7 a.m., on Met Radio 1280 a.m. in Toronto at 5:30 a.m. on Fridays, and now on CKCU 93.1 FM in Ottawa on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Our archives are at soundcloud.com/freecityradio. You can also find us as a podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Just look us up, Free City Radio, and please tell a friend. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I will speak to you next week.